You're listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to Hear the Walking Dead, Cinema Geekly's all-encompassing omnibus Walking Dead podcast. It is Anthony and Aurora, and we are back a little bit late, I guess, better late than never, to talk about the end of Fear the Walking Dead. At first, I thought we were just going to be doubling up on episodes, and then I forgot how days and weeks work, and I guess just time in general, because by the time we were ready to record the episode, the finale had also aired. So there are three episodes to talk about, and we've decided to break a little bit from tradition here, and instead of talking about each episode one by one, I'm just going to give you the rundown of what happened in each episode all at once, and then we will discuss everything all together. So that's the game plan, everybody. So we begin with the events of episode 10, called Keeping Her Alive. Furious about Strand's abduction of Tracy, Dwight, Sherry, and June attempt to return the girl to her father along with Strand. Wanting to save Tracy from that, Strand escapes with, well, wanting to save himself from that. Come on, let's be honest. Strand escapes with her and brings Tracy to Madison, who is continuing her search for Alicia, and Tracy agrees to help Madison find her. Wanting to use Tracy to get revenge for Ophelia's death, Daniel accompanies them, throwing Strand out of the truck when he tries to stop them. Strand is then rescued by a group of women driving Althea's old SWAT van, and they explain that after escaping Texas with dozens of survivors who had heard her message, Alicia had traveled around helping survivor groups until her apparent death. Having been saved by Alicia, this group has been keeping her alive for other people, at least in myth, I guess.
In spirit.
In spirit, yeah. Tracy leads Daniel and Madison to a trapped herd that she claims holds Alicia, but in reality it is an attempt to get Madison killed by her zombified mother, who Tracy claims died because she believed in the same things as Madison and Alicia, which feels very flimsy at best. Yeah. Reasons for wanting revenge. Tracy finally tells Madison that Alicia is in a manor near Fort Worth, and Strand talks Madison down from killing the little child. But she escapes with the knowledge of where Padre is. Convinced that Troy was right about them, Troy attacks Luciana's truck stop, killing most of both groups, but they realize that Troy intends to attack Padre using an army of the dead like he did with the Broke Jaw Ranch. Unwilling to risk anyone else that she cares about, Madison goes after Troy alone in the SWAT van, which leads us into the events of episode 11, Fighting Like You. Troy begins leading a massive herd to Padre, but his truck is wrecked by a trap, causing Tracy to seek out Madison's help. Weird, I guess, all things considered. After a brief scuffle, the two reach a deal where Madison will help Troy bury his wife Serena and reunite with Tracy, and will lead them all to the herd. Troy reveals that Alicia saved Serena from a walker bite, causing Serena to follow in Alicia's footsteps. Serena was killed in a robbery while answering a distress call, causing a grief-stricken Troy to blame Alicia and Madison for some reason. However, the two are attacked by a vengeful Ben Krennic. Ah, you remember him? That Shrike's brother. I almost forgot all about him.
I love that. I just want to interject here and just say that the exposition there was great for me because I didn't even remember who this guy was.
Oh,
and
you're
he was
welcome.
Like, yeah, I was the one leading Padre, and I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, I forgot too. And they're like, Ben, and he, I was like, who is this guy? And then he's like, Shrike, and I'm like, oh, okay, I remember now. Right. You're the guy. He's seeking to reclaim Padre for himself. He reveals that he and Shrike had rescued Madison from the destruction of the Del Diamond baseball stadium, which is very convenient. I don't know how they ended up there in wherever that was. I don't even remember where that was now. Was that in Mexico or Texas or California?
I don't remember anymore.
Anyway, they used her love for her children to manipulate Madison to do their bidding. Madison draws in walkers who devour Ben while unexpectedly saving her life. A remorseful Troy admits that Serena had encouraged him to continue helping others even after it killed her, and Troy willingly helps Madison's group now for some reason to stop the herd, believing that Alicia giving Troy a second chance got her daughter killed. Madison fatally impales Troy with Alicia's prosthetic arm rather than making peace with him. Before dying, Troy implores Madison to take care of Tracy, claiming that she is not actually his daughter, but Alicia's daughter, who Troy had kidnapped. That felt like a pretty good twist. Until the events of the series finale, episode 12, The Road Ahead. Now convinced that trying to help others only gets people killed, Madison attempts to set out with Tracy to find Alicia, putting Madison at odds with her friends. Russell reveals that Alicia might be alive. I don't even remember who Russell is, but he reveals that Alicia might still be alive before launching an attack on Padre with thousands of walkers in retaliation for Troy's death. Tracy shoots Madison and puts down... and buries a zombified Troy before later being found by Strand. Strand reveals that although Padre was destroyed, everyone escaped because Madison, having been protected from the bullet by Alicia's St. Christopher medallion, had once again seemingly sacrificed herself to destroy the herd the way she did at the stadium, renaming the organization Madre in honor of Madison's sacrifice. The group splits up to use Madre's supplies to build new communities and honor Madison's ideals of trying to build something better. June decides to return to John Dory's cabin with Odessa and to provide medical attention to those in need, while Dwight and Sherry set out to find the still missing parents of Padre's children, intending to rebuild the sanctuary with them. Daniel and Strand finally make peace before parting ways, and Daniel is reunited with his long-lost cat, Skidmark.
What a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Madison is rescued by Tracy, and even though Tracy shot her, and reunites with a still-alive Alicia. Yeah, I called something and it happened.
Yeah.
Who reveals that she is not Tracy's mom, that Serena was her mom the whole time. Madison and Alicia let Strand know that they survived, but choose to keep their survival a secret. Otherwise, Madison decides to return to Los Angeles with Alicia and Tracy. It says here to help rebuild their old home, but really it's to find Tobias and find out what he's been up to.
I choose to believe that.
The real series finale. Aurora.
Yeah.
Three episodes, wrapping up Fear the Walking Dead. Thoughts and feelings.
I'm so disappointed in this whole finale.
Yeah.
And you described it really well in terms of, you know, what a coincidence. Oh, what? Like, there's so many.
There's always a lot that of happened. Those. Yeah.
But this was too much.
This was very egregious. Yeah.
Yes.
Not just what a coincidence, because some of the what a coincidence things are just like, what a coincidence, like Alicia has
Skidmark. Like Skidmark being there, I feel like there were so many coincidences that last shot of Skidmark appearing didn't land as well.
No,
as
I mean,
should have, because they did it so often before.
Yeah, I mean, it's not coincidental that they reunited Skidmark with Daniel, because obviously that was their doing. Like, Tracy planted that flower in Strand's truck, so he knew it was her, like, they left little things, but it was, you know, what a coincidence that Alicia, she's just like, look at this rascal I happen to come across, you know. She, like, you know, what are the odds in the entire world of, like, I mean, if any cat could survive, it's that cat. But, right. Like, what are the odds that they run into one another again? I don't know. There was a lot of coincidental stuff.
I like to think that it was just a random cat, and mm-hmm. Daniel was just like, this is Kid Marknell.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, my biggest complaint in this whole three episodes, is Madison's motivation. It was so unclear.
Yeah.
And we're talking about someone that's like hell-bent on finding her daughter mm-hmm. so that she can bury her.
Yeah.
So we have this drive as a mom to like put her daughter to rest. And you have that aspect. But then on the other hand, she's like pointing a gun to a kid that's a girl. She's like kidnapping the girl. Like she's like... killing the girl's dad in front of her. Like, there's so many things that she's doing that go against her drive as a mom that it was so confusing to watch.
It was almost not... It's almost not motherly driven, but just selfishly driven.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do this, and nothing's going to get in the way of me doing a thing I want to do.
And everybody else in this show, in the group, like Daniel and Luciana and even Strand, they're all trying to put out the fires that Madison keeps leaving behind.
Yeah.
Everything is her fault. Everything that happened to these other people mm-hmm. is her fault. And they're trying, like, I think it's in the second episode episode 11, when she kills Troy, right?
Yes.
And when she does that, the Strand goes and says, like, what are you doing? Like, are you saying, like, what is happening here?
Right.
Like, everybody around her is, like, questioning her choices, too, because they're so, like, all mm-hmm. over the place. I don't know. It was very confusing to watch.
I was pretty let down by mm-hmm. these episodes. Things, and what's weird is that I watched all of these in a row, so it's not quite 3 hours, but it's close. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. you know, well over a couple hours, and it felt so rushed, but in that mm-hmm. way, kind of like those last episodes that we were talking about with Madison, with her character, was the constant sort of whiplash of, you know, I hate you, I'm going to kill you. Nah, I guess I'll help you find your daughter. No, I'm going to kill you again. They're just the constant turning and twisting back and forth. And there was so much of it in these episodes of, you know, Troy, like, what a weird character. Mm-hmm. It's constantly also shifting between bad and good and... like mustache twirly villain, but then I'm reformed. Mm-hmm. But then also I'm just going to lie to her for what reason? Maybe, I don't know. Tracy did try to give her a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I guess like you wanted to give you something to believe in, but honestly, I feel like a more logical answer to this is, it really is his daughter, and he wanted to say something to Madison that would make sure that Madison would protect her and not kill her.
Mm-hmm.
Because Madison's an insane psychopath that...
She is.
She was already going to kill this little girl earlier.
Yeah.
I feel torn about the girl who plays Tracy, because they clearly thought very highly of her, because she has a lot to do in these three episodes. She has
a lot of scenes.
Yes. She's good, but...
She's good.
Not good enough to be given that many episodes. She was practically the series lead in some of these episodes. Yeah. She was getting so much screen time and so much dialogue.
Which is kind of bizarre, right? Because if you are like a fan of this show, I feel like I want to be with the characters that I
mm-hmm.
became attached to
until
the end, not like a new character. Like I
gotta say, I don't know. the only real saving graces for me in this episode. I'm going to give like a little aside mention. I thought it was cute that they did a little Daniel and Skidmark reunion. But outside of that, there are only two really great scenes out of all three episodes for me. And both of them are Alicia-centric. And I was really happy that she came back to do the tail end of the final episode. I was legitimately touched and thought it was really well done, the reunion between her and Madison. Mm-hmm. I thought it was actually really well done. They took their time. They let it soak in. Especially, like, the look on Alicia's face was great. Like, in the hug.
Right,
It was so good. And I was like, why couldn't the rest of these... Why couldn't they capture whatever magic they had in the scene? Why couldn't that be part of the rest of the episodes? But it wasn't. And... also, I really enjoyed the scene where right after Victor sees the flower in the truck, he looks in his rear view and sees all three of them there and sees that Alicia is there and Madison is there. This look on his face was great also.
Right.
Those were great moments, but they were fleeting moments at the very end of the show. It felt like they had very few things for everybody else in the show to do. They did try to sort of wrap things up a little bit for them to be like, you know, we didn't forget about them. Here's the stuff that they're going to do or whatever when the show's gone. We just presume that they're all going to keep doing that stuff really well or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I sort of like the idea of June going back to John's cabin.
Right.
But, like, these are all, some of these things are all reminders of, like, when the show was actually better, though.
Exactly. And that's why I feel like we needed more of those instead of, like, just the last 5 minutes of the last episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, you know, let's go back to the reason that Troy gave Madison for killing Alicia. That's also messy, right?
Because.
Like, you're saying that Alicia saved your wife's life.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, inspired her to be a better person.
Yeah.
And
that led to her getting killed.
That's the reason why you killed her? Like, how does that make any sense? Like, that's so petty.
I mean, I sort of get it. Like, you know.
But I mean, if she was killed in a robbery, right? Like, wouldn't you think that he would like to get revenge on the guys that killed her?
You'd think.
Not Alicia.
You'd think, yeah. I mean, it's that weird idea of, you know, like, oh man, I got a paper cut and I'm so mad about this paper cut that I got that I'm gonna find the tree that, you know, it's like, no, that doesn't make any sense, guys. You can't be like, if it wasn't for Alicia showing my wife a better way, giving her hope and optimism. It's her fault for giving her hope.
And also, like, he also mentions that he asked for help. He sent an SOS, and Alicia is the one that showed up, and he was shocked that she helped them because of their past.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you be thankful that she, like, even after everything you did to her, she, like, helped you?
Well,
and then you go and kill her?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it is a very nihilistic point of view, I guess. And I suppose the zombie apocalypse can be a nihilistic world to live in. So I guess I can see to some degree, but it just feels wrong. And even if it's like Alicia, it didn't end there. It's like, well, she learned that stuff from her mom, so her mom's got to go, too.
Right.
And it's like, come on, this is dumb. Yeah. This is just stupid. Yeah. There's so many, I mean, a lot of convenient things, which is kind of par for the course with, I mean, a lot of television shows, but Walking Dead can be particularly egregious about it sometimes. But for me, it was really just the constant, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then a twist. But the twist isn't what you think it is, because here's another twist.
Right.
And some of them kind of make sense. But it felt so, it didn't feel satisfying. The Walking Dead got to have, like, false closure because The Walking Dead's not done. In the sense that a lot of its characters are continuing on to exist in other shows. And, you know, you and I are going to talk about one of them when it starts airing next year. And, you know, when that happens, it's the Star Trek The Next Generation deal, where if you're going to go make movies or whatever, or spinoffs, you can sort of cheat your way out of a finale. Give me the sense of a series finale for the show. There wasn't, like, a big sense of finality to it. I do, you know, it's sort of just, in a lot of ways, it's sort of like a regular Walking Dead season finale where everyone gets scattered to the winds.
Exactly.
But it didn't have,
especially after, you know, they also show, like, those trucks that instead of padre said madre. And I was like, well, that's kind of like, it looks like it will, there's going to be another season if you give me something like that, you know?
Right. I mean, I didn't even realize, was there some sort of time passage after Tracy shot Matt? I don't even remember. Like,
I don't know. It's very unclear.
I was watching it, like, with my own two eyes. I didn't fall asleep. I don't know what happened. I certainly lost. Maybe I blacked out. I don't know. But I lost some track of time. That's for sure.
I don't know. That was very unclear to me when they skip to the tent and she's, like, tending to Madison and she has antibiotics.
Yeah.
And Alicia shows up. Like, all that. I was like, wait, what?
What is all happening right now? Also, I love that Tracy was like, I dragged you here in a stretcher. One of the things my dad taught us was how to, like, was like medical training or something. And I'm like, what? You're like seven. You did not. I don't care if you had them on a stretcher. You did not drag a full grown adult dead weight.
Right.
That just didn't happen.
And let's add that that grown adult is the person that killed your dad.
Yes. Like, and she kind of gets over it eventually.
Very.
Readily,
especially when it's revealed that Alicia is not her mom.
Yeah, she's like, you're not my mom? I thought
that girl was going to have, like, a identity crisis or something. And she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I was like, what?
This girl, though, she is really good at finding out if people have guns, stealing it from them, and pointing it at them. She did that, like, five times in these three episodes. Yes. So she is pretty. Don't keep your guns around kids, everybody. It feels like something I shouldn't have to say out loud. But here we are. I was so after beginning this show, because this is the show that started this podcast. It was sort of our way in to talk about The Walking Dead, because The Walking Dead had already been going for several seasons at that point, and it felt weird to start a podcast about it and jump in with whatever season we started with, or something, or four, I don't remember. But this show starting up felt like a perfect way to sort of squeak in and start talking about the show, which is why everybody, if you go to the archives of the show, you will not hear reviews for Aurora and I reviewing the first few seasons of The Walking Dead. But maybe someday, if The Walking Dead spinoffs cease and there is no more Walking Dead content, maybe at that point Aurora and I will go back and, for fun, maybe review the early seasons of The Walking Dead that we never got to cover. But that's why those aren't there, because we started with season one of Fear the Walking Dead. And it started, I thought, started promising. But then I think by the end of the first season and then into the second season, we were all kind of about it. Like, we were watching it. It was okay, but we weren't really in love with it. And it wasn't really until the time jump and until they introduced
Morgan,
Lenny James, mm-hmm. That the show really started to take off for us. And I,
right,
for a couple of seasons there, we thought it was better than the main Walking Dead show easily. And I had, and it kind of tapered off a little bit in the last season or two, but it was still wasn't bad or anything. And then when it became sort of clear that it was going to, as the show was winding down, sort of circle back to being about the surviving individuals from the very beginning of the show, I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense because it just makes sense. But I guess what I didn't think about was how kind of, as the kids would say, mid those early seasons of the show were. And it kind of showed here. Ever since they brought Madison back, which always felt weird to me.
It did.
Because it didn't feel like she should have survived the thing that happened to her.
No.
But,
and it didn't. And again, I feel like it doesn't make sense either that she's introduced back to the show and she's like stealing kids.
No, it's
from their parents. Like it was very bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, they try to say here that they used her love for her own children to manipulate her into thinking she was doing good things. But like after a while, you got to know that you're not. That being said, it just felt out of place. All of it felt kind of out of place. And it took a big decrease in quality for me when they did the mid-season finale, which was the finale for Lenny and all of that stuff. And the show just felt like wonky and off-center basically for the rest of these episodes. And it never really felt like they got things back together, and things felt really just hodgepodged to me. It's so disappointing to say about a show that really had some steam going for it for a while. I don't know how we would go about. I mean, I guess we can just say what we would have given each episode, because we didn't know how we were going to review these episodes until just before we started recording. So that's to show you how professional we are. We're like, let's do it this way. I still have scores down for every episode. Did you mark down episode scores?
I kind of have like an overall score for
like all three of them.
Because I feel it's the same score.
Oh, wow. For like every episode, you feel like it would average out.
Yep.
Okay. So I gave episode 10, I gave it 2 3/4. I gave episode 11, 2 3/4. And I gave episode 12 a 3.
Okay.
Which is pretty low, all things considered.
Yep.
And really, it really only earned that 3 by having those couple of touching scenes.
In the last 5 minutes.
That I thought were pretty darn effective, actually. But boy, did we have to get through a mess of stuff to get to it.
Yep.
So probably, I guess, for all three of them, it would sort of land at maybe like a 2 3/4. I don't know. Somewhere in there. I don't know how to math properly, Aurora, but I would imagine since 2 out of the 3 were 2 3/4, I would imagine that it leans heavily towards that as the average.
Right.
So what about you? What did you think of these final episodes of Fear the Walking Dead?
Before I give my score, I will say, I want to add that I feel like I would have enjoyed this 3 episodes more if throughout the whole 3 episodes and throughout this like last couple of episodes from this mid-season, we see like crumbs of Alicia's influence on people around this area.
Yeah.
And you can tell that she has been a positive influence for a lot of people, and people are respect her and she has helped. And so it's kind of like this beacon of hope for the area, right? So I would have enjoyed this more if Madison was here and she was kind of like picking up the pieces of, you know, what Alicia has been doing, still thinking that she's dead.
Yeah.
Right? But kind of like being like, wow, you know, my daughter left a huge legacy and I raised her well. And, you know, like that sort of like realization as a mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I feel like at the end, if she showed up and she was alive, it would have been a bigger reveal for me.
Instead, it was such a mess. Yeah.
Right. Right. So maybe it would have been a bit more boring because it wouldn't be in a lot of action. It would be just Madison seeing these communities thrive thanks to her daughter.
I can totally see the awkward conversation of like, you know, oh my God, mom, I like, there's no way you're still alive. Like, you get past that.
Right.
And then you get into, you know, like, this is everything, you know, I hope you'd be proud of me. This is everything that I've tried to do. I tried to live like by these things that you set up for me. What have you been doing, mom?
Exactly.
Some indiscriminate killing here and there.
And you know what? It would have been even more impactful if the whole thing with Tracy actually happened.
Yeah.
And Tracy actually killed Madison. And then Alicia showed up and find out that her mom died because of the as a consequence of her actions. Like something like that would have been also like a big reveal, but none of that happened. So I gave each one of these episodes 2.5.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I was very disappointed.
Even lower than I was. That's pretty impressive. Because I did not like these episodes either.
No. No.
But then again, I did think, I thought I was being kind of charitable to them as well. But that's sort of damning with faint praise, really, to be like, these are kind of below average episodes. But I'm trying to look on the bright side.
I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
I kind of like, I established my score based on how many eye rolls I did.
No, man.
And it was too many.
That's a lot of, you lose a half point or a quarter point or whatever for every eye roll. that is kind of the end of The Walking Dead for right now, but it is not, you know, the end, of course, because there is more on the way. Just nothing right this second. There is second season of Daryl Dixon, the principal photography for that, began and has continued. So they're still making that, but there's no official release date for it yet. However, there is a release date for The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. This is, of course, the Rick and Michonne show that has been so eagerly anticipated by so many for so long. Ever since they revealed that Rick was not dead, people have been waiting to find out the follow-up to all of that. And the release date for that is February 25th. So it's going to be a little bit. Yeah, so Walking Dead, we're gonna go into a bit of a zombie hibernation for the time being. But hey, it'll give you plenty of time to kind of go and play a little bit of catch-up if you're behind on this season, or if you're behind on The Walking Dead proper, or if you didn't get a chance to see Daryl Dixon, like, now's your chance to catch up and follow along now with us.
That's a good show. Go watch Daryl Dixon.
Daryl Dixon was a really good show, so highly recommend that. In the meantime, everybody, head on over to cinemageekly.com, where you can check out the archives of the show. Of course, it's a listener-supported podcast, and there are some ways you can help out there if you so choose. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/cinemageekly. We also have the merch store, geeklymerch.com, home of the brand new For All Lime Always merchandise line that we just dropped. That's for Loki as part of the Podcasters of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast that we do, but I just dropped that new merch. It's been a little bit since we've put new merch on the merchandise store, so that is out there. Everybody says that the design is very cute, so I'm taking a lot of pride in that. So yeah, ways to help out there if you would like. The links for them will be in the show notes for this episode. And of course, you can find us also on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, anywhere good podcasts are found. Just search for Hear the Walking Dead and hit subscribe and enjoy your holiday seasons, everyone, because there will be multiple holidays between now and the next time you'll hear us talk about Walking Dead. But if you're tuning in sometime around late February next year, you will get to hear us talk about episode one of the, I guess it's going to be the mini series. I think it's only going to be like six episodes, so I don't think it's going to be a multi-seasonal show. But episode one of The Walking Dead: The Ones Who Live.